Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're bringing several lessons to help us to understand the church as is revealed in the New Testament. So many people have a misunderstanding about the church, and it could be called a misunderstood church, I suppose, as much as anything else. The things that we're going to be talking about are very familiar to those of the Lord's church. They hear sermons about it from time to time. But familiarity certainly does not minimize the importance of repetition. In fact, the departure from the truth is made possible when the fundamental matters are taken for granted, when they're not studied and taught consistently and repeatedly. So we want to study about certain things about the church that we read about in the New Testament. Now we are aware, all of us are, that there now exist many churches, literally hundreds, I suppose, of them. We're going to talk about the church, the name and number, because these churches do vary in name. They vary in doctrine. They vary in what they believe, what they practice, the message that they send forth. And in a multitude of lesser ways, there are differences between these various churches. Now, they have certain similarities, to be sure, but they are divided one from another by major differences. In fact, that's intended. They intend to be distinctive from the other churches. Denominationalism is a prominent characteristic of that which is called Christendom today. And there's a mass of chaotic confusion and division and contradiction is so much in evidence with so many different churches and doctrines. You know, sometimes people are inclined to accept something to be true and they believe it to be acceptable, simply because it's been that way for a long time. Well, there have been many churches, and for a long time. But we don't accept things simply because they've been around for a long time. Aren't we glad that medical science has not been deceived by thinking that we just ought to accept things because it's been around for a long time? Why, you know, we would still be bleeding people to treat high blood pressure. That is, we would drain blood from them. That's the way they used to do it. The age of things in religion does not necessarily prove it right or prove it wrong, at least not by itself. And size doesn't prove a thing right or wrong. Power doesn't prove things right or wrong. The amount of finances or the degree of acceptance, how many people might hold or something, that isn't how you determine what is right and what is wrong. Now, time has aided in the development of attitudes such as one church is just as good as another, and that it doesn't matter to which church you belong or whether you belong to any of them or not. And the various churches are said to be branches of the Lord's church, and that God accepts the existence of many churches, and all these names, different names, why, that's unimportant. But friend, is such thinking really according to what the Bible teaches? Are we not to speak as the oracles of God? And if those ideas are true, those who hold them, are they not obligated to show from the standard, the Word of God, the Bible, somewhere, that these things are true? One major problem among religious people trying to come to a knowledge of the truth is, it seems, to be the desire to make God fit what exists rather than changing man to fit what God wants. We need to ask ourselves, are we trying to convert God to man or convert men to God? We should be interested in only what the Bible teaches about the church and be content with what the Bible teaches about the church, seeing that the Bible claims sufficiency. And in our lesson, we're going to show that there is but one church and that the Scripture identifies that church by God-given identification. Now in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, after the apostle Peter had confessed that he was the Son of God, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Now, friend, these are the words of our Savior. You please notice how he used the word church, and he used it in a singular number. Our Lord did not promise to build many varying churches such as exist today. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul wrote, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The Bible teaches the church is the body of Christ. And Colossians 1 and verse 18, also like Ephesians 1, he is the head of the body, the church. And in that very same epistle, listen to it now, in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, "Having said that the church is the body, there is one body." Well, how many is one? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul wrote, "But now there are many members, but one body. As surely there is one body, and there is one head, there is one church." And all of these passages harmonize with that central theme. And I ask, how can anyone honestly read the Scriptures and conclude that there are many churches in view of the fact that the Bible repeatedly says there is one church? In John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said, "And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, I don't think that many of us had a problem recognizing that there is one shepherd, and that shepherd is Christ. Why do people have a problem recognizing there is to be one fold? If there is more than one fold, would not this allow for more than one shepherd? You see, the church is presented in the Bible also as the family of God. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, "the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Now the term house, that refers to God's household, his family, just like the term is used in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 16 with reference to the families of Cornelius and the family of the Philippian jailer. In giving the qualifications for elders of the church, Paul wrote, "One that ruleth well his own house," that had reference to his own family. The Lord has a house, and that's his spiritual family. It's composed of brothers and sisters in Christ, and it is the church. It's always spoken of in the singular sense. But now, the various churches, some contend, are branches of that one church. Well, some teach that. Where does the Scripture teach that? If that be true, the burden of proof rests on those who so contend, and they have a problem with these verses that teach oneness, as we have just quoted to you. Where is the Scripture that teaches that kind of position? If this is true, it truly is makes unity unnecessary, even though the Lord prayed for it, and the Paul condemned division. It might end a lot of religious strife, and when everybody would just agree to disagree, thinking that nothing really matters, there's no difference whatever you teach or practice, whatever you want. Is the unity taught in the Bible nothing but to agree to disagree? Is it unity in diversity, with each going his own way with equal authority and benefit and approval? If so, where does the Bible teach that sort of thing? Nobody desires oneness or unity more than faithful Christians. But shall we have unity at the sacrifice of truth? The only passage to my knowledge that has ever been presented to me to find any kind of biblical support for the divisions of denominationalism and that there are many churches being the branches of the Lord's church is found in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, where Jesus said, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches." But friend, The branches are not denominations. I contend again, denominations have no biblical authority. Jesus said, if a man abide not in me. He's not talking about various denominations that came hundreds of years after the Lord's church was established. He's talking about people. Nothing even suggests that he was speaking of various and differing churches. Certainly not denominations that didn't even exist. You see, the apostles and the early evangelists, oh, they wrestled with a lot of different problems in the church, to be sure. But denominationalism was not one of them. Is it reasonable to think that the same vine can produce grapes and pumpkins and oranges and apples and watermelons and bananas and all at the same time? Is that reasonable? Christ is the vine. Men are the branches. People are the branches. It's unreasonable to think that Christ is the founder of a group of contradicting denominational bodies. No, the church is not made up of denominations. The conclusion is inescapable if you teach and believe what the Bible says. There is one church. And a church that contends for more than one church is not teaching what the Bible teaches. Now, the Bible does at times speak of a plurality of churches, but it uses the word in the sense of local congregations, local churches, like in Romans 16:16, when Paul said, the churches of Christ, that is, churches that belong to Christ, salute you. In Revelation chapter 1, we read of the seven churches which are in Asia. In Galatians chapter 1, we read about the churches in Galatia. But these were not different denominations. They were local congregations in different localities, but they taught the same, they believed the same, they practiced the same, they worshiped the same, they followed the same rule, they believed in the same authority, and being one in the essentials, such as the government of the church and the doctrine that the church is to uphold, the work and the worship of the church. Yes, friend, the Bible teaches, contrary to the thinking of so many honest and sincere religious people, to be sure, the Lord established one church, and there's only one church that he has promised to save. There's only one church built upon the foundation that he's the Son of God. Man does not have the right to go out here and establish a number of churches and claim they belong to Christ. Christ established his church, and do you know, that church came into existence on the first Pentecost after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. Those who heard the Apostle Peter preached, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told what to do, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the salvation that through the Word the Holy Spirit teaches us. And there is but one church, because the Lord added the saved to the church. Acts 2, verse 47. And there are not many churches. You never read, choose the church of your choice. You never read of anything like that. But what are the names of these different churches? Is that acceptable before God? Well, in our next lesson, we're going to try to understand a little bit more about the church of the Bible. And we'll see that names matter to God. Do they matter to you? They matter to God because God has given the identification that should be worn by those in the church. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.